In Paul's letter to the new Christians in Colossae, he began chapter 2, which is where we are today, with these words. If you're reading along, chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, I think Paul laid out his pastor's heart, right, in front of all of them, and he said, I'm struggling because I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be united, and I want you to know Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? I think every good pastor wants all of that for his flock, and that includes me. And every good Christian wants that for every brother and sister in Christ. All of us want that for one another. Some of you have shared with me that you have some family members who are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a burden on your heart. Well, good. I say good because those family members need you. They need your love. They need your concern. They need your prayers. They may not know it. Or they may know it and they might not like it very much. But what matters is that you identify here with Paul, who said, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. It is a struggle, isn't it? That was part of my prayer during our silent prayers. Two people close to me who don't know Jesus, and I prayed for them. If you are struggling for your loved ones, don't give up. Don't give up. God wants you to love them into his kingdom. If you are not struggling for them, why? Did you give up? Or did you ever start? You know what God wants you to do. You don't need me to tell you. Now, as much as we could continue to focus on evangelism in this passage, what I really want to focus on in this passage is the church, our church, Covenant Fellowship. What do these words that Paul wrote to the Colossians have to say today to us, Covenant Fellowship? Let's start with that wonderful word he used, encouraged. He said, I want them to be encouraged. Now, the Greek word that he used there is parakaleo. And that word carries a number of different meanings, but the most prominent meaning that it has is the word comfort. Comfort. And isn't it comforting when someone here encourages you? And don't forget, someone here may need your encouragement. It works both ways, doesn't it? I teased Nancy this morning when she was coming. I said, you married a good guy? And she said, yes, I did. And I said, he married a good woman. And she said, yes, he did. It works both ways. It works both ways. When we gather here with one another, and when we gather in other ways, like at our lunch groups, or maybe making a trip together or some other activity, you are the church. You are the biblical church. And if Paul has anything to say, he would say, I want you to encourage one another. I want you to comfort one another. I want you to do that whenever you are together. Whenever. That's one of the best perks of being in a Christian fellowship. You need it. I need it. We need that. But even more, behind this word parakaleo, there's always the idea of helping or enabling someone, some brother or sister who's dealing with a difficult situation. A shorter way to say that would be bear one another's burdens. Bear one. That's exactly the way Paul expressed it in Galatians 6, 2. He said, bear each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Are you listening? Are you listening? We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. You may have heard of Human True Blood. Human True Blood was a very popular preacher in North Carolina in the 1900s, and he lived by the ocean in North Carolina in Elizabeth City. And it was a hot summer day, and he went for a dip in the ocean to cool off, and it was very refreshing, and it was wonderful. And he was walking home, and as he did, he saw a man and two of his sons trying to push a disabled car up an incline. And they were hot, and they were sweaty, and they were dirty. And he said, two voices started shouting at me. One of them said, Herman, this is an opportunity for you to serve. And the other voice said, Herman, if you do, you're going to get hot and sweaty or dirty. Have you ever been there? Has it ever happened to you? Well, he gave in to his better self, and he helped them push that car up the hill. And afterwards, the father came to him, and he stuck out his filthy hand to shake True Blood's hand, and then the father said something he said that stayed with him for the rest of his life. He said, I am so glad that you came along, because you had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go. And then he shared that story in a sermon, and he added this. He said, there are many thousands of people struggling to get some heavy burden over the hill. And probably you have just enough strength added to theirs to make the thing go. That, brothers and sisters, is a large part of what covenant fellowship is all about. That is the kind of example that encourages my heart. It's like the parable of the kite. Have you heard the parable of the kite? It goes like this. I did, said the sticks. No, I did, said the paper. No, I did, said the boy. No, I did, said the wind. But they all flew the kite together. If the sticks had broken, if the tail had gotten hung up in a tree, if the paper got torn, if the wind decided not to blow, that kite would have crashed. Everybody had a job to do to make it happen together. So here we are. Paul wrote a letter, and he wrote it to us, the Covenant Fellowship. No, God wrote a letter. And he wrote it to us, to Covenant Fellowship. And he says, I want you to encourage your other brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to encourage one another. He wants you to encourage the people sitting around you. Did you realize there's people sitting around you? He wants you to encourage you. What are you going to do about that, God says? What are you going to do about that? You know what? When we see someone who is worshiping God and praising God, it can be contagious. Well, when we see somebody who is serving a brother or sister, that can be contagious too. All of us should be happy to spread those kinds of encouragement around this fellowship. Now back to Colossians 2, verse 2. Paul said, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. The mark of a healthy church is first its love for God, and second, its love for one another. If that love dies, that church dies. We don't want our church to die for a lack of love. We've talked many times about the priority of worship in our lives. To worship God is our highest calling. And we've talked about the high priority we also have to love one another. We will never love one another perfectly, will we? We just aren't capable of loving one another perfectly. But oh, what a thrill it is to when someone visits this church. And you know, people do visit us from time to time. What a thrill it is when someone visits this church and says, I saw how this group loved the Lord. And I could just feel how this group loved one another. And people have said that to me. They have been in here. How encouraging was that to hear that? Thank you, God. It really blessed my heart. In life and in any church, there are people who are really good at bursting that bubble. Whoops. And for many reasons. And some common ones that come to my mind are these. It's like when someone has the attitude that the idea of cooperation is everybody working with me. Or my idea of unity is everyone agreeing with me. Or my idea of a wise person is someone who listens to me. Or my idea of sympathizing is everyone suffering with me. Did you hear the common denominator? Me, 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 me. Did you see that movie, Finding Nemo, the Disney film, where the seagulls see the food and they go, mine, 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 mine? Have you seen that? It's really cute. Me, me, me. Have you heard this one before? I gave a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small. 3 guests in all. I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches, while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. That little rhyme is the antithesis of the church. It's the opposite of the church. And it's the opposite of what covenant fellowship is called to be. And you need to think about that, brothers and sisters. And you need to ask yourself realistically, are you on the inside of this church? Or are you on the periphery of this church? How do you feel about that question? Do you feel like you belong, or do you feel like you're on the edge of this church? If you feel like you're on the periphery of this church, what are you going to do about it? Or is it somebody else's problem? Or do you need to take some responsibility? Here's a different illustration that I really like better. Martha was a teacher in Sunday school of the preschoolers. What a calling. She was the teacher of the preschoolers. And one Sunday morning, just after the class assembled, they were about ready to start, someone brought in a new student, Davy. And Martha noticed right away that Davy was missing one arm. And it made her nervous because she thought the other children might draw attention to it and might make a big thing out of it. She got tense, but things went very smoothly and it was fine. And she was so happy that, you know, it wasn't embarrassing. She relaxed. It was time to close the class, and they had a little tradition in the way they closed the class. And without thinking, she said, "Okay, children, let's make our churches together. Here's the church, and here's the steeple." And then she realized what she was doing, because Davy couldn't do that. What she had feared that the other people would do, she was doing herself. And then a little girl, sitting beside Davy, took her left hand and put it up to Davy's right hand and said, "Here, Davy, let's make the church together." What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. And that's really what covenant fellowship is all about. Each of us takes our inadequate, handicapped lives, and we put them alongside one another, and we make the church together. Now, as Paul continued this passage, he did something very clever. Because of the way that he used one particular word, I'm going to explain, but you're going to have to follow me in this explanation, okay? You ready? Suppose, and this is in the past, of course, an encyclopedia salesman. Have you ever had an encyclopedia salesman come to your home and try to sell you a bunch of encyclopedias? I think we're old enough to remember those days. Suppose an encyclopedia salesman came to your home and said, "I have a volume of books here that explain all the knowledge in the world, but you may not read it because you won't understand it. Only I can read it and tell you what it really says, so follow me." Now, suppose a Bible salesman were to come in here this morning and say, "Covenant Fellowship, I have a volume of books here that explain all the mysteries of God, but you can't read it because you can't understand it. Only I can understand it. I'll read it for you. Follow me." That's exactly what was happening in Colossae. The false teachers, the Gnostics, came along and they told this young church that they had a volume of books that expounded in all the hidden mysteries of God, but they couldn't read those books because they couldn't understand them. That only they had an understanding, and therefore they had to follow them. And they had a Greek name for that volume of books that they were trying to sell. And the Greek name was Apocalypse. And from that Greek word, we get our word Apocrypha. Now, I imagine you know this. The Apocrypha is a collection of books that were written about the same time as the Bible books were written. But they are not included in the canon of the Bible because scholars examined them and they decided that those books were not inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Now, the word Apocryphus is used three times in the Bible. And two of those times that it is used, it is exactly the same, once in Mark and once in Luke. And I'm going to share with you just the version in Mark. It said, "Jesus said to them, 'Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed. Don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Now that's what it says in Mark and Luke. The only other time that word is used is here in Colossians. Paul cleverly used it. He said, my purpose is that they be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden, apocryphos, there's the word, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see what he did there? He mocked the false teachers by using the word. He mocked them. He made it clear that the hidden things of God were not found in their books, but in Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Praise God that you have a knowledge of Him. Hello? Praise God that you have a knowledge of Him. Not contained in unintelligible books, but revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to know the Father. Hallelujah. He's not a secret. He has been revealed to you and to me. That was Paul's message then, and that is Paul's message to us today. It is a revelation for every person to whom God has chosen to reveal Himself. And praise God, you are one of them. Ha, got an amen on that. Yes, the Bible does contain mysteries, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And we sometimes do not understand what the Bible is trying to say. If we could fully understand it, we would be all. But we're not. Only God is. But God Himself has come to us and He says, I have a volume of books that explain all my hidden mysteries, but only I can fully understand it and explain it to you. And I will peel back the layers of the mysteries and I will reveal them to you and the meanings of them for your life. In my perfect ways and in my perfect timing. And those books are for you, brothers and sisters. They're wide open for you. You may definitely read them. They are the bread of life. And God has freely given them to you. How many times have you heard a teacher or a preacher say you need to read the Bible? How many times have you said, yes, I'll do it? Well, withholding all temptation to lay a guilt trip upon you and me, let's do it. Let's do it. I close with the words of Paul just a few verses later. Colossians 2, verse 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Brothers and sisters, let's not just make the church together. Let's be the church. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that You have been revealed to us for who You are. We thank You for the mysteries that we don't understand. We thank You for the promises that You give to us. We thank You for our loved ones who do not know You, and We pray for them, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch their lives. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has touched our lives. And Lord, may our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ increase daily as we walk closer and closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.